Hello, everyone, and welcome back to an episode of Between the Lines podcast. Welcome, Josh.
Hey, Rory. I'm glad to be back.
Glad to have you back. So today, as you can tell by the title, we've got another NFL episode, and today we're having a mock draft. The date is currently
the 5th,
so we're only about three weeks in the draft.
Yeah, 3.5 weeks. 3 weeks this Friday.
Yeah, so some lots to look forward to in the next few weeks. Getting another mock draft coming in later, but this draft is going to include QB trades. The other one will include all trades. So we thought we're not going to complicate it too much because obviously a lot can happen. But we thought, you know, the main talking point of this draft is the QBs going, and there could be 4 to 5 QBs going in the first round, you know, 4 to 5 going in the first 5 picks maybe. So for this, we're going to do where Josh is going to, you know, we're going to do the draft together, and Josh is going to get the odd picks. We'll start with one, and I'll get the even picks. So Josh, you're first up.
So you've given me the easy task of picking the number one pick. Trevor Lawrence, there's not much to say. He's probably the best QB prospect since Andrew Luck about 10 years ago. So I wouldn't overthink it if I'm the Jaguars. They like him. He's a very good player. I think he's far and away the best QB in this draft. So I'd go for Trevor Lawrence at number one.
Yeah, so moving on, I think this pick also will be obviously quite simple as well. I'm going to go with Zach Wilson, QB at BYU, to the Jets. This pick does have a bit of talk about Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, kind of a toss-up. Justin Fields at QB of Ohio State. I think that was kind of up with Zach Wilson because there's not really an exact reasoning behind it. They've, you know, according to multiple reports, they've really taking a liking to him, attending his pro day and whatnot. It's just a toss-up between the two, really. I think it's kind of like a 60-40 leaning to Zach Wilson. But he's a very good mobile QB, good throw on the run, could come in handy, seeing as they've got a weak offensive line. Not much to say about this pick.
Yeah, this is really where the draft starts, isn't it? The 49ers moving up in that blockbuster trade a few weeks ago, about a week ago. That we know they're going to pick a QB. There has been some talk that they'll try and get Mac Jones out of Alabama. I think for me that's just a smoke screen. He is a Kyle Shanahan type of QB, Mac Jones, but I don't think you give up 2 future first round picks just for a QB like Mac Jones who is very similar to what they've got already in Jimmy Garoppolo. And also lots of talk out of San Francisco is that they're willing to let Garoppolo stay for this year and sit a QB behind him and learn. So that's why I think there's a lot of talk about Trey Lance's arm talent and his athleticism. But for me, I think if you look at Justin Fields' record in college football, he outplayed Trevor Lawrence in one of the knockout games at the end of last season. He seems to me to be just a bit of a level above Trey Lance. And he's not as pro-ready as Wilson or Lawrence for me, but if you're willing to sit him behind Garoppolo, I think you've made that play and you're going to go and get Justin Fields, a quarterback out of Ohio State to the 49ers with the 3rd pick for me.
Yeah, it's a good pick. I mean, I don't know if you heard, but reports were that if the Niners were going to trade him, they'd want a first-round pick.
Yeah.
A bit ridiculous, seeing as he was traded for a second from the Patriots a few years ago. The whole thing based on his upside. Now he's showing he doesn't have too much upside and they want more than that. So I think it's very ridiculous, but oh well. There's also reports, according to Benjamin Albright, NFL insider, saying that the media says Mac Jones could be a pick at 3, quarterback from Alabama. I guess we'll just see, it could be a toss up between those 3 quarterbacks, but you know, it could be smokescreen. We'll be left to see on April 29th. But moving on to pick 4, we have a blockbuster trade. We have the Denver Broncos trading up with the Falcons to pick 4. The Falcons will receive pick 9. They'll also receive pick 40 in the second round and a future Denver first. So Broncos currently have an interesting situation at QB. They currently have Drew Lock, who's a third-year player out of... What college did Drew Lock go to?
Was it Michigan? No, it wasn't.
I think it was Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri, that's the one. Yeah. I got the MI right.
And he's kind of, he's not like impressed. He's not also disappointed to a really bad extent. He's got upside. It's just, he's yet to show it. He's had injuries, you know, to Cortland Sutton, his number one receiver, had an inconsistent O-line. So this is kind of his prove it year, but Denver, they kind of added some really important players like Kyle Fuller to the defense and they could be looking to kind of like a win now kind of mode, at least in the next few years. And, you know, maybe with Drew's upside is not seeing as much as some other quarterbacks. And for this, I have been taking Trey Lance out of North Dakota State quarterback. He's a very interesting prospect. He was only 19 when he played just his 1 year of his college career. And he was very, very impressive. Obviously, it's in a weaker division, weaker conference, where, you know, the whole question is, you know, the teams he plays against aren't exactly as impressive or as good. So, you know, when you're coming up against NFL competition, how will he do? But he's kind of a complete physical package. Yeah, has a great build, good athleticism, good arm strength to throw on the run. I mean, he's a really good RPO quarterback, a read and pass option, which can be very, very prolific or prominent, I should say, in NFL today. And he's just kind of the kind of perfect quarterback, like a Cam Newton kind of quarterback for this kind of era in the NFL. So it'd be interesting to see how he does. Maybe he sits behind Drew Lock for a little bit and develops, because that's probably what his best bet is. And I guess we'll see. So moving on to pick five, Josh, who do you have the Bengals take?
I think this is an area where I think they'd be willing to trade down, potentially. But I think there are three really, really good prospects still on the board here. Kyle Pitts, Penei Sewell, and Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, from a purely, like, from a standpoint of what they should do, you probably go, well, Kyle Pitts would add so much to their offense. Penei Sewell would protect Joe Burrow. And they picked the wide receiver in the start of the second round last year, who's done pretty well, T. Higgins. So you'd think that they wouldn't pick Ja'Marr Chase. But lots and lots of talk out of Cincinnati. We were chatting about this earlier, is that Joe Burrow, who played with Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU, really, really wants him back in his offense. And he is an unbelievably good receiver. So I think the likelihood is that they will pick Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU. I think there are merits to it. I personally will probably go with Penei Sewell. I just think you protect Joe Burrow really well, and you get you can get a good receiver in the start of the second round with the 37th pick. But I think they'll go with Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU to continue that connection between Burrow and Chase.
Interesting pick. I mean, like you said, it can kind of go either way, and it's really going to be left. I think people are going to be in question of this pick, or unsure of this pick, until it actually happens on that draft night. Now, the next team, the Miami Dolphins, at 6. They had pick 3, traded back to 12, and then traded up to 6 again. So they're clearly eyeing one of these top prospects. Either, you know, a guy like Kyle Pitts, as you mentioned, tight end, but he's really just kind of an overall receiver out of Florida. But I think I'm going to go with Penei Sewell, tackle out of Oregon. He did test his pro day shorter arm length, about 33 inches, which is lower than average. There's kind of a question about whether he can move the guard. But regardless, he'd instantly upgrade the offensive line to a knees up protection, because they've got an interesting offensive line at the moment where you have two young tackles in Austin Jackson, who's a first-round pick last year, and Robert Hunt, a second-round pick last year. You've got interior offensive line of Michael Dieter and Eric Flowers, and then a center of Matt Skura. So all around, kind of average, below-average offensive line. They could go receiver here, like a Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, or Kyle Pitts. And, you know, I'm sure many Dolphins fans would love to get, like, a dynamic receiver like Kyle Pitts, for example. And this maybe seems a bit of a boring pick, but this receiving class is very, very deep this year. And so it would not surprise me for the Dolphins to actually go and protect Tua like they should.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the players who you can get who they'll be able to get in the second round, and maybe Tony, Terrace Marshall, Elijah Moore, maybe Bateman might drop. There's some real studs that they can pick up there to strengthen their receiving core. So I think protect Tua, who is quite injury prone as well.
Exactly.
It's a good thing to do. And then at 7, we've got another trade. So the New England Patriots, who just re-signed Cam Newton, the former Carolina Panthers quarterback, but their owner Robert Kraft last week said that they needed to upgrade the quarterback position effectively. I'm not sure if he was that blunt, but that's what he meant. And so I think they trade up from 15 to 7. They swap with Detroit Lions, giving Detroit the second round pick this year, a fourth round pick this year, and a sixth round pick this year, for Detroit to move back to 15. I think there are merits to this trade for both, and Detroit probably still get a pretty good player at 15 and stock up extra draft picks. That's the best way for a team that's in pure rebuild mode at the moment. Stockpile as many draft picks as you can. And for the Patriots, getting their QB, Mac Jones is the only one on the board. Well, the only top one left on the board. And I think he could. I think he could do a fair amount in a Belichick offense. He's played with a QB like Mac Jones for years and Tom Brady. I mean, Mac Jones is clearly not going to be as good as Tom Brady, but he's a similar kind of pocket passer, so he's used to designing plays for him. So I think that could be a good trade all around.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I mean, Mac Jones, obviously, I think, has at least have upside in terms of comparing him to these other four QBs, but he's a kind of low ceiling, high floor type of guy that Bill Belichick would love to build a team around, and you know, he is very reminiscent of a Tom Brady in his prime. So I think Bill Belichick would love this pick. Now, moving on to eight, the Panthers would sprint up to the podium here and take Kyle Pitts, tight end or general receiver out of Florida. He's absolutely huge. He's 6'6", 240 pounds or so, 250 maybe. He's a dynamic receiver who can play in the slot on the outside, X, Y, Z. He can run block to an okay extent, but that's not his really strength. It's not his real strength. He's completely dominant. He would become, I'm not going to say their best receiver, because they have a lovely dynamic set of receivers in DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, but he would provide a lovely red zone threat for them, for Teddy Bridgewater. And, you know, the Panthers would look to draft a quarterback potentially, and they could look to trade up. My only thing is, they're kind of they're not really interested in Mac Jones, according to many reports. And if there was trade up, they'd have to trade up to four with the Falcons, and the Falcons would not trade with an interdivisional rival. You know, let's say the Falcons trade up the Panthers, swapping picks 4 and 8, and the Panthers select, let's say, Trey Lance or Justin Fields, and they become generational QBs. That's going to be a narrative that's going to be pushing the Falcons for years to come about how they let their divisional rivals get a generational QB. So that's definitely not going to happen. But I think the Panthers just continue to add to their offense. And, you know, maybe look for a QB like Sam Darnold, potentially trading maybe a third or so, conditional third round pick. I guess we'll see. But yeah.
So Kyle Pitts at 8 then.
Yeah.
Sweet. Then at 9, you've got the Falcons. He traded back from 4. You look at that. There's a lot of talk about the Falcons and how much they've kind of struggled in the last few years. And there's a lot of talk about Matt Ryan. I don't think that they look to get rid of Matt Ryan yet. I think he's still got a few years to go. And with Julio Jones, Ridley, lots of other stud players, I think they're in a fairly good position. A clear need for me is at cornerback. And at 9, they're still one of the best cornerbacks, probably the best cornerback in the draft on the board, and Patrick Surtain out of Alabama. And I think they go there. It's not, having traded back to 9, I can see them trading back again, because it's not a position where they're not in a position at the moment where they could massively strengthen any of their key needs. You look at safety, etc. And I think Kyle Pitts would have been a massive pick for them, but he's just gone to the Panthers. So I think they would go with Surtain, especially with Dallas at 10 behind them, who are quite likely to pick a cornerback. For me, Surtain's the best cornerback in the draft by a pretty big margin. So I think they'd go for him out of Alabama.
That's a very good pick. I mean, there's definitely a toss-up now between who's number one corner. First, like Caleb Farley, a very, very speedy corner out of Virginia Tech, but he's recently had back surgery. Which he should be fine for training camp of the season, but has, you know, raised a few question marks, because obviously back, neck, head, anything like that, very risky and very, very impactful. You know, if a player has consistent injuries to those areas, it could be, you know, like lead to the downfall of their careers. So he's maybe wary of drafting him high, and that could lead to Caleb Farley falling. Then you have, I've seen some scouting pages, articles talking about how JC Horn, cornerback out of South Carolina, maybe the number one corner of the draft, kind of 1A, 1B with Patrick Surtain. And that's why the Cowboys going pick 10, taking JC Horn out of South Carolina. Now the Panthers, the Cowboys, could go for a player like a Rashawn Slater, who's a tackle. They could really improve that offensive line. There's good offensive line depth at in this draft, especially tackle. And obviously there is good depth at corner, but I think the Cowboys need a difference maker corner, seeing as they've let Jobi Owusu-Igbo. Their starting corners are currently Trayvon Diggs and Anthony Brown. And although they, you know, they got a bit of potential, especially Trayvon Diggs, there's not a necessarily kind of a playmaker at that bit. And you know, that's I think what they need in their defense, because their offense is very, very good with or without a player like Rashawn Slater, a tackle or guard. But they need a player like J.C. Horn to kickstart the kind of uprising or upheaval of that defense. So 10 go J.C. Horn.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk about the Cowboys offensive line getting quite old, but I just think they're not a team that can afford to take the luxury of strengthening positions that don't need to be strengthened yet. Yeah. So I kind of agree that they'll go with J.C. Horn. I think the Giants at 11, it's a really, really interesting one. I think for me, the two clear needs here, and I mean, you're a Giants fan, so I hope you agree with me. The two clear needs here are edge and receiver, or interior lineman, but there's not a huge amount of value here at the moment. You'd be having to reach quite significantly. So I think
So I was going to say quickly that you mentioned that with the interior offensive lineman, there isn't much value, and you're right in the sense of a player like Elijah Vera Tucker, who's the best guard in the draft, would be a reach. But for a guy like Rashawn Slater, he's said to be a guy that can play all over the line, and due to his short arms, he could definitely play guard. So interesting to see what happens there, but didn't you?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, they picked Andrew Thomas last year at 4. That didn't turn out to go that well for him. the three tackles that were picked after him ended up playing very well. But I think this is a really tough one. For me, I think personally they'll go receiver. I think being a year in which they need to decide whether Daniel Jones is a good enough quarterback for the NFL or not, they need to give him every single chance they can of competing. They signed Kenny Golladay in free agency, but he's very much a contested catch guy. So I think they might go for a really speedy receiver, a really explosive one who can get deep balls, who's just really, really quick, really skillful, explosive, and Jalen Waddle out of Alabama. There's been a lot of talk that Devontae Smith might be rated potentially even the highest receiver in the draft, but I don't think that will come to fruition. I think the pace of Waddle will be too attractive for the Giants, especially with some concern. I have some concerns about Devontae Smith's figure for the NFL. Yeah. He's very, very rangy and very skinny to be a receiver and at the top level.
Yeah, no, definitely right in that. Obviously, I think it's definitely a bit of a toss-up. But now, I keep saying this, but the next two on the board, the Eagles at 12, are absolutely elated with who's fallen to them. They take quickly again Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle's partner and receiver, Alabama. As you said, obviously, Devonta Smith, he won the Heisman. He's a very, very good receiver. They're very polished. Is a really good route runner. Only problem is his build, his figure. He weighs in about 170, 180 pounds. And therefore, you know, he could definitely be bullied at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, you kind of worry that he could be very susceptible to injuries. However, his upside is definitely not worth passing on, especially the Eagles at 12. They needed, you know, a dynamic playmaking receiver. And you have players like Chad Ochocinco, who are Chad Johnson, the receiver from the Bengals from a good few years ago, who he said he was around that size when he was drafted. And look how, you know, he's turned out to be a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. And he can easily put on weight, add to his frame. And so hopefully it should be too much of a concern for him and the Eagles drafting him.
Yeah, I think if you're the Eagles and you get to the 10th pick and Waddle and Smith are still on the board, I think you end up pretty happy with either one of them. So I think that's good news all around for the Giants and the Eagles.
Yeah, exactly.
So moving on to 13 with the Chargers. Last year they had a kind of weird year. They didn't perform very well, but they still performed well enough to be in kind of the mid to high tier, not a properly high tier draft pick. And they also clearly found their franchise QB of the future in Justin Herbert, who was an unbelievable player. And so I think for me, similar to what the Giants need to do with Daniel Jones, and what the Dolphins need to do with Tua, they just need to put him in as good a position as possible to succeed. You look at the draft board at the moment. Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle out of Northwestern, he is a brilliant tackle. I've even seen, I think, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network's big draft guy, has got him ahead of Penei Sewell, and I think there are a few scouts around the league who have Slater ahead of Sewell at 13 at tackle. So I think they'd be delighted to pick Slater out of Northwestern.
Yeah, I mean, he's being seen more as a zone blocking guard rather than left tackle, due to his shorter arms. But he seems a guy that, although maybe comparing to Penei Sewell, has a lower ceiling, he's a much higher floor. He's a guy that will be the best tackle alignment day one next season. And I think that's what Justin Herbert kind of needs, because, you know, I think like many people reiterate, you know, great receivers, but if your offensive line isn't capable enough, you won't do well. And with Justin Herbert, he's already shown how much he can develop and improve in 1 year. Imagine what he can do multiple with a guy like Rashawn Slater protecting his blind side. Now, moving on to 14, the Minnesota Vikings with their pick. Pretty interesting what the Minnesota Vikings can do. They have a number of needs. They could go and attack an edge, as they need a guy opposite Daniel Hunter. You look at players. The edge class is very interesting because there's not a one kind of main guy like a Nick Bosa or a Chase Young who's just seen as, you know, above all the rest and like a clear number one pick at edge. You can have a number of guys like Gregory Rousseau, Aziz Ojulari, Quinton Page, Ezra Osai, Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips has risen a lot, especially since his pro day. He's seen as now the number one edge, but not by a huge amount. But the main problem with him is his injury history. He was formerly at UCLA. He had a number of concussions, a broken wrist, and like a motorbike accident. He injured his ankle, I think. And he had to medically retire at UCLA, then transferred to Miami. And he played decent, but the problem is, you know, he could potentially be one concussion away from retirement. But I think, you know, at 14, the value is too good to pass up on. I think that's what you do. You draw for value. You know, Daniel Hunter could be a great mentor for him. So for the Vikings, I have them taking Jalen Phillips, edge out of Miami.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really nice pick. He is a guy who you look at and you think upside. I mean, if he stays fit, he's going to be a baller. I think here now we've got the Lions at 15. They've just traded down. And I think they'll be quite upset to see Waddle, Smith and Chase all off the board. But at the same time, I think they'll be quite happy to see this guy, the linebacker out of Penn State, Micah Parsons, still on the board. They've got a clear need at linebacker. And at 15, that's pretty good value to be able to get Micah Parsons. They're a team that's not in win now mode. They're rebuilding. But a guy as big as Micah Parsons, he is absolutely huge. He's such a good athlete. To put him in your defense just opens up all kinds of possibilities for you. And so the 15th pick for the Lions, I would go with Micah Parsons out of Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, you know, him on the 15 is great. He could be a guy that could potentially go forth the Falcons if they keep their pick, or if it's full, you know, so yeah, later end of the first round, the Brown 26. With him, he's, you know, been up and down. He came into Penn State as an edge rusher, a defensive end, then transitioned into more of a stand-up linebacker. So he has great, you know, edge versatility where you can line him up as a pass rusher, as a situational pass rusher, you know, or put into coverage or in the run defense. There is off-field issues or concerns with him regarding hazing and character issues, where he was hazing a younger member of the university. These were reports where he said he's come out, you know, he's changed his ways, he's a different guy. So I guess, you know, have to wait and see how that actually ends up, because, you know, you hate to see players with this much upside come in and ruin their careers. Kind of like you, Reuben Foster, who's drafted to the 49ers a while back in the first round, who is now on the Washington football team, I believe, as a who actually just recently or last year injured himself tearing his ACL. But yeah, the thing with Micah Parsons is, you know, as you said, the Lions aren't in win now mode. Micah Parsons may need to just sit back and develop a little bit and, improve his instincts slightly. And then from then he can be that's a game changer at linebacker for the Lions, in which they've really been missing a go-to linebacker for some time. Now, moving on at 16, you have the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals have a few needs. You can look at cornerback is a big one. They have Byron Murphy in the slot, and Malcolm Butler as well. They need another one. Running back is definitely a need. You look at like Najee Harris, Travis Etienne. And then you can also look at tight end potentially. I think if someone like Kyle Pitts is available at 16, you know, he's not going to be available. If he was, they sprint up to take him. But I believe the pick here is going to be Guy and Caleb Farley. Now, Caleb Farley's got a pick in the top 10 and dropping. I think the Cardinals, same thing with Isaiah Simmons last year, pick 9. They're not going to let a guy with this high upside fall this far. I think 16, that's more than enough value for him, even if he's coming off from back surgery. He's a very, very good sized corner, very, very quick, can hold the outside while Byron Murphy takes a slot, and can really shore up his defense and maybe a bit of a spring cleaning, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think that's a nice pick, but I think the team at 17, the Las Vegas Raiders, I think would be quite disappointed with that. I think that cornerback's a clear need for them. But on the other hand, they've massively weakened their offensive line this season, letting Rodney Hudson go, a few others too. And so I think Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech, him still being there at 17, I think it's probably just right. I don't think he's worth higher than a mid first round pick, around where the Raiders are. But I think it aligns with a clear need that they have. And so I think they'll give some protection to Derek Carr and Josh Jacobs, and try and keep that offense as explosive as it was last season.
No, definitely. That was a very good pick. You know, it may seem a bit questionable potentially what they've done first of the line, but this would definitely be a good step in the right direction in terms of protecting Derek Carr and obviously getting younger position as well. Especially if they've just re-signed Colton Miller to a massive deal, paying him $18 million a year. But moving on with the Dolphins, their own pick at 18. Now, there's many different options, different alleyways they can take in this pick. Now, seeing as they did pick Penei Sewell at 6, I think they could potentially go for a receiver. Only receiver I really do see being worth it is Rashad Bateman, a really good route runner out of Minnesota. They can also look towards offensive line again. Simon Cosmi, Tevin Jenkins, really risen up draft boards. I think to talk about Oklahoma State. Also look at Elijah Barrett Tucker. These are all, you know, interesting moves they can make. But I have them, you know, kind of going for more value rather than need, even though it can definitely be seen as a need. I've been taking Jeremiah Wojcicki-Carmoa, linebacker at Notre Dame. Now, he's a guy that is a really, really dynamic player. He can play linebacker, he can play safety. He's instinctive, quick look at the ball. He very much sells out making plays. He's not the best tackler, but overall, he's a really good outside linebacker. And even though he does like size the linebacker, this kind of leads to his versatility of playing safety, which also seems a need for the Dolphins. They can kind of fit him around wherever they want, wherever he works best. And they can get, you know, a really, I guess I've said this a lot, but a dynamic playmaker for their defense.
Yeah, I think we're in for the 19th pick, we're in another position here where the Washington football team have kind of watched a key player that they would have really wanted to take fall out of their grasp at the last minute. So I think that they probably have two options in this scenario. I think there's a clear best player on the board still for me, and that's Gregory Rousseau. I think I'd probably be surprised if he falls this far, but the fact that the Washington football team's one massive strength is that defensive line. They've got studs all over the defensive line with Chase Young, etc. So I don't think that they do that. So I think this is probably a trade down scenario for them. But given that they're in this situation, I think they're probably strengthened the offensive line. Someone like Samuel Cosmi from Texas is still there at offensive tackle. I mean, the two guys who've just gone ahead of them, Darrisaw and Wojcicki-Carmoa, are two guys they'd really like, I'd imagine. But I think they would need to strengthen that tackle if they're not trading down and then go with Samuel Cosmi out of Texas.
Interesting you bring up Gregory Rousseau, because he's been very, very interesting talking point over the last few weeks, I guess. He was seen last year as a really, really, really impressive player. He was a formerly wide receiver, I think, and converted to edge in his first year at edge for Miami. He actually got 15 and a half sacks, then sat out this year. So it's very, very up in the air about what he'll be like in the NFL. Very raw prospect, very high potential, but also high bust or high chance of being a bust due to his lack of experience and rawness. According to Tony Pauline, our Pro Football Network, Many teams have second round grades on him now, and he can fall out the first round, so he could go as high as the mid teens. And teams can do their draft, but he can also fall out the second round. So it'd be interesting to see how he does. And moving on to the Chicago Bears at 20. I think the Bears can go a similar route here. Obviously, signed Andy Dalton, who, according to themselves, they were ecstatic about getting him, which is very questionable. But I thought, you know, if they're so ecstatic about getting him, well, they want to make sure they want to protect him. You know, their new franchise star quarterback. They're going to take Tevin Jenkins, who I formerly spoke about at Oklahoma State. He is seen as a really good athletic tackle. He does have, as I said with other tackles, quite short arms. Been a kind of a trend this year, but below average arm length. You know, again, it could lead to him, you know, being a guard maybe, but I think he sticks to tackle. Very athletic, agile, and powerful. He's a really good blocker, as one should be as an offensive lineman. But he seems a guy that just cannot move around. He's very, very strong, and he'll just be a, you know, a staple in the offensive line for years to come.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Andy Dalton, I mean, whatever his merits, he's a QB that's going to need some protection. think that's a decent option. A bit of a run on tackles here. We've had five go in the first 20 picks. But I think the Colts, they've got a clear need that aligns with some value still on the board. They really need an edge. Justin Houston's gone. Being able to get to the pass, get to the QB is something that could really take their defense to the next level. And their defense is already pretty good. Their other weakness is probably offensive tackle. But as I've just mentioned, you're picking a sixth offensive tackle if you pick one here. I don't think you're getting good value there. So you've got a choice, really, in terms of edge. There's four really good ones. Russo, we've talked about, Ojulari, Kwity Paye, or Joseph Osai. I think the thing with the Colts front office is they're not necessarily a team that likes to take a lot of risks. And so I think they'd be quite fearful of going with Gregory Russo in the first round, especially given they're a win-now team. So I think they would go with Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia. He's still a guy that needs a bit of work. So they need him to kind of be quick in getting up to the level, given they're probably in a win-now situation, you'd think, with Carson Wentz at QB and probably no first-round pick next year. So I think you're looking at Azeez Ojulari as a guy that can help you to win now, having progressed a little bit over the course of the season.
That's a very good pick. I think also they could also go tackle. I mean, they could take a risk on a guy like Elijah Barrett Tucker, who shouldn't have fallen this far. But, you know, he's seems to tackle sort of guard, but maybe, you know, it's too risky to put him a tackle. Seems he's more favorable at guard. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But moving on, the Tennessee Titans made two amazing question decisions, not bringing back Corey Davis, cutting, you know, injury prone Adoree Jackson. They could look for a guy at 22, Rashad Bateman, obviously by Minnesota. I think this is a point where, you know, the receiving class is very deep. They could easily get a guy in the second who can, you know, align himself next to or opposite AJ Brown. And do you probably find we got like Elijah Moore potentially or Terrace Marshall? That's why I'm going to go and pick the cornerback Greg Newsom the second out of Northwestern. He's a guy that's not exactly the quickest. He's a good cover corner. He's very feisty. And he's good. He's able to, you know, flip his hip very quickly, very agile. And he's a guy that can, you know, start opposite to Norris Jenkins with Christian Fulton in the slot. And, you know, hopefully the Titans cannot miss a step in terms of letting Adoree Jackson go.
Yeah. Now moving on to the Jets at 23. This is their second pick. They've already kind of strengthened the QB position with Zach Wilson. I think, again, this is a really tough position for them because lots of cornerbacks have gone off the board with Greg Newsome just going there. And their clear needs after quarterback kind of tackle, lots have gone already, cornerback, linebacker and running back. So I think they would go with linebacker. I think you look at someone like Zaven Collins out of Tulsa. He's a really explosive player. He's not massively quick, but he impacts games. And that's what they need. They need someone who's just going to get you some wins, get you some big plays. So I think they go with Zaven Collins. I think they could probably strengthen. I'd be surprised if they couldn't get either Travis Etienne or Najee Harris with their second round pick. So I don't think you reach for running back here. But I think that's a pretty good pick, taking a linebacker to strengthen their front seven.
That's definitely a good pick. You also look for players in the offensive line, but there's a lot of depth there. And you know, they may be worried that a good linebacker may not fall to them in the early second round. So
yeah,
pick there. 24 Spurs have some options. They could go and look at players that like you mentioned, G. Harris. Be a very interesting pick. They could look at a developmental QB, but more like, you know, Kellen Mond, this was late in the draft. Obviously, they re-signed Juju, so receivers not a need. Even value, you know, value would meet here. I say they go and take Elijah Vera Tucker, who's a guard out of USC. I think it's pretty much criminal that he's fallen this far. He's a better run blocker than pass protector, and so when you know do the most duty for Ben Roethlisberger. He's a two-year starter with both guard and tackle, so he can play either. The Steelers definitely missing players such as Andrew Villanueva, who's gone into free agency. The only real reliable man on the offensive line is David DeCastro, who also could be gone the next few years as he is increasing in age into his the wrong side of 30. I think Elijah Vera Tucker is a very safe option here to protect, you know, Ben Roethlisberger or whoever their future QB and running back will be.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Their offensive line was pretty weak at the end of the season, and then they let three of their guys go or they retired. So I think that's a clear position that they need to upgrade. I think now you look at the Jaguars at 25. This is their second first round pick, having already got Trevor Lawrence at the start of the first round, the very start of the first round. I think that their weaknesses here are really kind of defensive. You look at safety and defensive tackle. And a guy still on the board, Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle out of Alabama, is probably, I think, quite clearly far and away the best defensive tackle in the game, in the draft. Sorry, he's not better than Aaron Donald. He's a guy who's really progressed in his college career, and I think he represents the best value that kind of aligns with what they need as well. So I think they will go for Barmore out of Alabama.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, they've never had inconsistency in basketball with players such as Malik Jackson and what's that? They're the guy that took in the first round recently. I can't remember his name. Tyler
Eifert?
No, the defensive tackle. I have to look it up.
Sorry, I thought we were talking about tight ends.
I'm looking at it now. I can't find the roster. It takes too long, but I'll get it at some point. But moving on, the Browns at 26. The Browns do have a need where, you know, they can easily go with a guy like Gregory Rousseau at edge, as they want a guy to play, you know, opposite Myles Garrett. They've signed Pat McKinley in free agency, the high upside, low risk power walker kind of guy. I guess we'll see how that pans out. They could look to target an edge. But I'm saying they go still on the defensive side, and they go against what they normally do, and they go and draft a linebacker, this man out of Kentucky, Jamin Davis. This guy has risen a lot in recent weeks or months. He's a very, very athletic linebacker, a bit smaller. He's well built, and he's shown really good development recently. He'd do really well as an inside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme, but also would work fine as an outside linebacker in a 4-3, so that's what the Browns play. And I think he'd be a great guy to put next to Mack Wilson, or whether they have a linebacker in the future, and I think he'd be a great pick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Browns front office value linebackers. Yeah. So I think you mentioned that it will be against what they normally do. But I think Jamin Davis seems to be a guy that front offices are falling in love with across the league. So if he's still there at 26, then they've got a decision to make. I think if they manage to sign Jadeveon Clowney, and lots of noise suggests that they may do so, then I think it's a bit of a no-brainer with lots of cornerbacks off the board. And Jamin Davis still there. But moving on to their divisional rival, the Ravens, I think this isn't that difficult to pick either. They have two massive needs, really, wide receiver and edge. They managed to sign Sammy Watkins, who maybe solves their receiver problems. And so I think that they will go with an edge in Kwity Paye. He's got a really good backstory. He was kind of born in a refugee camp, and then went to Michigan and has turned into a really, really good edge rusher. He's really hardworking, not massive, but he did some really good work in college football. And I think if you look at them letting Yannick Ngakoue go, Matt Judon as well, I think. They definitely need to strengthen their pass rush. So I think the Ravens go with Kwity Paye out of Michigan.
Yeah, that'd definitely awesome. And they could definitely look either Kwity Paye or a Gregory Rousseau.
And, yeah.
Edge definitely has to be picked there. Now, the Saints 28, they do have a number of needs. You could look at linebacker. They may need a guy next to, I think everyone's name today, Demario Davis. Look at a corner, seeing if they let Janoris Jenkins go. Good defensive tackle as well, next to Sheldon Rankins. But they're going to go and take Rashad Bateman, receiver out of Minnesota. He's fallen way too far. He's a, as I said, a really good route runner. He can play next to Michael Thomas out on the outside or go in the slot. And I wouldn't say too much about him because I know I'm going to keep it short. But yeah, he'd be a great pick and a great value pick as well at 28.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think the Packers will be quite upset to see him go just in front of their pick. But I think they'll go receiver anyway. I think they're in a period where Aaron Rodgers has got a limited time scale left. And I think last year picking Jordan Love was a rather big mistake at the end of the first round, trading up for him as well. So I think they go with Kadarius Toney, sort of making up for that mistake last year. He's really athletic. He had a really good campaign last year in Florida. He's got quite a big upside. I'm not sure he's going to turn into a number one guy that some people expect he will be, but I think he just represents some clear need for Green Bay, who are a win now team. They're close to being a Super Bowl team. They came very close last year. So I think they'd go with Toney out of Florida. They're probably reaching, but it's a really big need for them.
Yeah, definitely. They could look at a guy like corner potentially, or something like Simon Jr. Could it be possible between those two skill positions? And I think whatever they target in the first round would definitely be addressed in the second round, the opposite. So yeah, I think receiver is definitely a big need for them. Value definitely needs a need here. There is 2029. Moving on to the Buffalo Bills at 30, they have a number of needs, particularly on the defensive end, which is ironic since they're known to have a good defense. But here I'm going to go with, well, I'd say surprised people. This man has been rising a lot in draft boards. I've seen him surprisingly go as high as 11 to the Giants in a mock draft. And that was as Joe Tryon, edge out of Washington. He's a guy who is a full-time starter, the sophomore in 2019, and he opted out last year. Very explosive pass rush with a large upside. He's very quick with the snap. And you know, he does want to get leverage on opponents. And he is a bit slow as a stand linebacker. He's a bit small for defensive end. So he fits, you know, he's a bit iffy in terms of scheme fit. But he fit well as a 4-3 defensive end, which would fit well in the Buffalo scheme. And yeah, I think he'd be a good pick.
Yeah, I agree. And if you look last year, they managed to pick AJ Epenesa, an edge who sort of grew into the season and is probably looking to attack 2021 pretty hard. So yes, they've got the ability to kind of give Tryon a little bit of time to develop. Really, I think this one's difficult for the Chiefs, but I think that there's a bit of a match in terms of need and what they've got. I think they let their two offensive tackles from last year go, Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher. And you saw in the Super Bowl, they didn't have a great deal of offensive line depth to start with. So I think they go with Jalen Mayfield, the offensive tackle out of Michigan. Again, potentially reaching slightly, but when you're a team as good as Kansas City, you just need to build where your weaknesses are. And they had a clear weakness in terms of depth on the offensive line. They did pick an offensive tackle in the late rounds last year. His name escapes me, but I'm sure you'll remember it. Lucas Niang, that's the one. So maybe they won't go again, but he was a fourth round pick last year. So unless they really love him, I'm not sure he's going to turn into the guy for them. So I think they go for Jalen Mayfield.
Yeah, and he opted out last year. So it'd be interesting to see how he's using the lineup, if he's using the depth piece as a starter and then moving to starting lineup, hopefully. They're definitely quickly adjusting the offensive line, which wasn't a need, but due to injuries, they created it into a need.
Yeah.
Addressing it with Joe Thuney, Carl Long, and obviously now Jalen Mayfield. Now, finally, a pick 32, move on to Super Bowl champions. This is a team that really doesn't have many needs. at all. They managed to retain their whole starting lineup from their Super Bowl run, which is very, very impressive. And it's really going to have the luxury of just going best player available here. And I'd say if you want to talk about best player available, you go and you go out and get. I was going to pick Najee Harris, but I forgot that you take him.
Did we no, take him? Still on the board.
It's not on my board. Oh, he is. I'm being an idiot. I've scrolled past the draft board. I'm going to take Najee Harris from back at Alabama. Now he's a guy that can, you know, split the snaps with someone like Leonard Fournette, but Leonard Fournette was brought back in a cheap deal, so it's not really going to be a invaluable pick. He can, you know, add a dynamic burst to his offense. He's a very good three down back, and he'll definitely help Tom Brady as obviously he's getting older. You know, he's going to want to throw a little bit less. And G. Harris also has good possessive catch ability, I guess you can say. Since he's also good in a pass game as well as a run game, so he has no specific weaknesses in the sense of, you know, he can do a bit of everything, which is great for Tom Brady. And that wraps up our mock draft for today. We'll be having one in a few weeks or so, maybe a week's time, leading up to the draft with more trades. So it'll be looking a lot different in comparison to this one. But that's all for today. Thank you very much for listening. And I'll see you all next time.